Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Come on in. Come on in. We are so glad that you are here. We got some last minute stragglers for all those that are out there. Come on in, make your way inside. We love you out there and we love you in here. All right. I don't know about you, but I think I've had enough to eat. Between the turkey and the pies and all the food, the Lord has blessed us with abundance. Amen? Amen. Come on in. All right. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so glad that you're here. If this is your first time here, we are so happy to have you. If this is your second and third time, even your fourth, you may be pushing to be a regular. And we're happy to have you here as well. So thank you very much. Today's scripture, we'll start off here with John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn it, amen, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That's right. And, you know, I really like to start off by praising him, right? Because that's why we all show up today, right? We want to praise him and then just count our blessings and, you know, we all get together to pray for each other, so on and so forth. But I think it's even equally more important to say thank you to him. Amen. Amen. To say, Lord, you are working in our lives. We see it day in and day out. So as we enter the new year, you know, you can't stop to think about all the wonderful blessings that he's given us throughout the year and all the peaks and the valleys that we've had in our lives last year, right? And that to know that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is, who was, and who will be. He's the Almighty One. So I want to take a quick moment to just say thank you to him and maybe tell us, maybe, you know, one of you, two or three of you, how God worked in your life this last year. Right? I know for me, I've had some changes. I had my father-in-law pass away, which was, you know, right? But then I've also had some really cool things happen, right? Unexpected things, some wonderful blessings. You know, one of the scriptures that continues to kind of come to mind for me is, be still. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Even though the circumstances continue to change in our lives, the peaks and the valleys, the learning lessons that we have, he doesn't change. And he still loves us, and he will always love us. He is so ever faithful. So as we enter the new year and we prepare for Pastor Nicole's message, let's take our time to look at things through the eyes of Jesus if we can. Let's have a heart of Jesus as we enter the new year. And let's just love. Let's ask him to allow us to love like he did. Amen? Yeah? All right, so let's get ready for worship.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging seas. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out. Surely
Everybody. What a wonderful day to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm sure that all of you can reflect on the past season that we've spent here at church in our season of Advent and just be so grateful and thankful that our Messiah has come and that he's no longer a baby in that manger, right? That he is standing or sitting. He's sitting. I think he's sitting. Maybe he's standing. Maybe he's ready. Maybe God's ready to blow the trumpet and say, go get him. But that he is our Savior and King. And when he comes back again, it's to take us home and to reign forever. What a joyous thing to contemplate, right? So, Christmas is over. Some of you are probably like, phew, finally. This is crazy time of year. But we have just a few announcements. Our end of year meeting is January 12th. So in a couple of weeks, 10 a.m., we will all have our t-shirts by then. And we will hear from the various different ministries in the church and talk about what we are hoping for the upcoming church year, calendar year. So we just encourage all of you to be here for that. It's going to be fun to reflect on this past year and look forward into 2025. There is a new sign up in the back for people that would like to bring snacks after worship each week. There's already some people signed up. So if you haven't signed up and would like to bring snacks, it doesn't have to be homemade. You can go to the store and grab snacks if you want to do that. That's a sign up in the back. There will be no midweek Bible studies this week as we have one more week off for Daughters of the King and the Tuesday night men's and women's group and the Wednesday night Bible study. But after next Sunday, those groups are going to get back up and running. Daughters of the King, Thursdays at 10. The Tuesday night men's and women's group, they meet separately, but that starts at 6:30. Child care is available. And then Wednesdays at 6:30 as well. So no men's group this week, but the following week. Okay, let's get ready to worship and see what God has for us this morning, okay?
We're going to stand and sing Chain Breaker this morning.
There's a better life. You've got hate. Yeah.
morning we are going to begin with our family prayer time. We have a few prayers on here, so we're going to pray for our church family. We're going to pray for those who are not here, who are out traveling with family. We'll pray for our church as we begin this coming year in 2025, because it's going to be exciting. Yes. See, our family meeting in January, our church meeting, that is not going to be boring. I remember, children's pastor, it's going to be fun. It does not stop at t-shirts, cool t-shirts, let me tell you. Let's pray. Thank you, God, so much for our opportunity to come and just fellowship together. Thank you for an opportunity to hear your word. God, I might have written the sermon, but you teach me every time I preach it, because your word is alive and it is good. And this is for each and every one of us here today, however that may be, in whatever point of view that we need to see. God, we want to lift up Mark and Amy to you. Now, Mark is home, and so we just pray for this unity and peace in their family as he's coming, and this is just part of his journey. And so allow Amy to walk with him, just love on him like crazy. God, we just pray that he is here soon, hearing your word together. God, we lift up Katrina and her family as they're not feeling well today. Just heal the sickness that they've got going on, Lord. We pray for Cindy, her Aunt Clara, as they're making decisions for care for their family. Lord, we lift up our church because next year is going to be a good year. It is full of new things, things that might make us uncomfortable, but it's exciting because we are ready to just do your will, to go out there and move mountains. Just let people know about Jesus. That's what we want. We want to be disciples for you, Christ. And how do we do that? You're gonna guide us and you're gonna lead us in that. God, we lift up Art as we just continue to prayer of healing for him. We just pray that you just love that guy like crazy and he just feels your love today. Give him so much peace. I love that he prays for our church family. So God, I just pray that when he does, that you are just with him and you just let him know, Art, I am here with you. Thank you, Jesus, we have a church that prays. Thank you, God, that we have people here who pray for our church family, pray for their family and their children and those who aren't even here today, God. Just we pray for those who aren't able to be here but who want to be here. Allow us to have hearts like you and eyes like you and ears to hear what you have called us to do. Bless this service, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning, we're going to be talking about sides to the story, because there are many sides to the story. And I remember growing up, my mom would always have to find the middle, right? When she had children, and my brother and I would get into an argument, or I would get in an argument with my sister, who was 12 years younger than me, right? So I'm 16, arguing with a 4-year-old. And there would be a lot of, you know, foot stomping and eye rolling. And my generation, we had talk to the hand. Oh, my mom loved that one. That went over really well. And I'll never forget the time I told my dad, duh. Oh, ooh. He didn't even have to say anything. He just looked at me and I never said that again. That was not in his vocabulary. And so we have these moments where we are trying to find truth in the middle. What's the right side of the story? And the scriptures in the Bible, we read scriptures in the Bible where we see different points of view. When it comes to Jesus, we read stories of Jesus. There's Jesus' point of view. We have oftentimes Jewish leaders' point of view. Maybe someone he's healing and the disciples, because they were at his tail, right? They were going to stay on him like glue because they wanted to see everything he had to do. They wanted his point of view and his story. In our scripture today, we're going to see three different points of view. We have our Jewish leaders. They are part of the story, so they have a point of view. We have the woman who was caught in the act. She has a point of view. And then we have Jesus. Jesus' point of view. So we're going to be in John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. And John wrote this gospel because he wanted to show who Jesus was and what he came to do. And I just want to give you a little preface. This can be a sensitive subject, so please be cautious of that. If you could please stand, let's all stand and learn from God's word together. John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such woman. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. And when they kept on questioning, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And at this point, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older one first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." God, this scripture is so good, and there's so much here that we can dive into. So God, I just pray that you soften our hearts to what you have for us. The scripture may be sensitive to those who have dealt with situations in our past. I just pray you soften their heart to what you have for them. Give us peace as we walk this path in this journey together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So here we are. In verse 1 through 3, Jesus is in the temple courts. He's preaching, he's sharing, and he's teaching. And then the Pharisees, they come in and they want to trap Jesus. That is their whole purpose of walking into this space where Jesus is teaching. And they brought a woman caught in adultery. The Pharisees made her stand in front of the group. And in John 8, 4 through 5, it says, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. And the law of Moses commanded us to stone such woman. Now what do you say?" They're reminding Jesus of Moses' law. Do you think Jesus needs reminding of Moses' law? No, probably not. But they're ready to stone this woman the moment they bring her in. But Jesus is silent. Just bends down and begins to writing something in the ground. Doesn't say what he's writing, and many have tried to guess, but we don't know. We just know Jesus is silent, writing in the sand. In verses 7 through 8, we see the Pharisees continue to question Jesus. They just kept coming at him in his silence. They wouldn't stop. So Jesus finally responds. In John 8, 7, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stopped. He went on the ground and he began to write with his finger. And slowly her accusers walk away, the older one first. One by one, dropping their stones and walking away. In verses 9 through 10, Jesus is left with the woman alone. And he simply begins with a question. Jesus is so good. He just asks her, where are they? Has anyone condemned you? And the woman answers, no one, sir. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Oh, go, leave your life of sin. Oh, Jesus is so good. Oh man, to be in that space. Jesus did not see this woman for her sin. He saw her broken and chained by her sin. He saw the sin that was holding on to her, but he saw her beauty and who she was as a creation of God. That's how he sees us. With all the stuff we do, no matter how many times we say, duh, God, he sees our beauty. And he just loves us where we are. Doesn't that feel so good right now? Amen. Jesus loves you the way you are because you are a beautiful creation of God. If anything you take from today, take that. You are a beautiful, wonderful creation created by your heavenly Father. Take that. Today in our scripture, I said we had three points of view. And I got to be honest, I struggled with the scripture a little bit because I thought, God, what do you want me to do with this? And he said, Nicole, you're forgetting something very important. There are points of view here, and oftentimes the woman gets left out in this scripture. And so we're going to look at all three, the Jewish leaders, the woman, and Jesus. And we're going to start with our Jewish leaders. They were scribes and Pharisees. And the Pharisees controlled the synagogue, so they had a lot more control over the people. They believed that these people were saved through the law and their obedience of the law. Then you have the scribes. They did a lot of writing. They wrote the law, they wrote commentary, and they transcribed it. They brought a woman before Jesus to trap him, the Jewish leaders. Leviticus 20:10 states this law that they are talking about. If a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be put to death. So my first question to you after I read this is, where is the man? Yeah. Amen. All the women are going, amen. Where is the man? Because the Jewish leaders are here for one thing and one thing only, to trap Jesus. They have used part of this law to make a stance. They don't care about this woman, and they do not care about her soul. She is bait, and they are willing to sacrifice her the moment they bring her before Jesus. So here's what I believe the Jewish leader's point of view is. Trap Jesus at all costs in hopes he will reject Jewish law. That's what they want to do. They want him to reject Jewish law right in front of all the people he is teaching. Then our second point of view is the woman. She's caught in her sin. She's most likely not fully dressed. She's in front of Jesus, and she is in front of a crowd that he's been teaching. Jesus, the religious leader, and they are using her in front of him. Does she know who Jesus is? Did she hear about the 5,000 that were fed? Does she know who this rabbi is standing in front of her? Does she have any idea? But she stands in front of Jesus in her humiliation, and Jesus is silent. John 8:6, but Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. Now at this moment, we know that Jesus had called out these religious leaders. And the stones of her accusers began to drop to the ground. Her face, I would imagine, would be downcast, so maybe all she could see was the dirt coming up from the rocks that were dropping or the stones that filled the air. Her eyes must have been filled with tears as she heard these rocks just thudding to the ground. And then there was silence. John 8:10 says, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And as she looked around, no one was left. No one. Relief must have sent in. And then confusion. I was supposed to die. Who are you? Why did you save me, Rabbi? Who am I? I have sinned. I deserve to die. I deserve to be stoned to death. Who was he? And I imagine her point of view was, I am no longer worthy of life. And yet, this rabbi sees me, and he still loves me. He sees me and still loves me. Recently, I heard a story about a group of pastors together in a room. And sometimes a topic will come up and we'll begin to debate. And in this room, the pastors began to debate about the clinic. Some pastors on this side believe you should be there, you should stand there, you should have a sign. This is what we need to do. And then the other half of the pastors said, I don't think that's the way. I don't think we should be there. I don't know if that's the right way. And so they debated for a long time, going back and forth. And eventually, after some time of this conversation, a woman in the back of the room, one of the pastors raised her hand and she said, "You know, I think I would be on the other side with a blanket." And as I heard this story, it made me stop and think of this scripture. Because it made me think, who is on the other side with a blanket? Who is there? Who's helping them? Who's loving on them? Because sometimes we get past the sin and we screw up. Who's there to wrap a blanket around us? I don't know. It just made me think. So what is Jesus' point of view in this story that we've read today? Because that's what we want. We want Jesus' point of view. Jesus begins silent. But he writes something in the dirt. We don't know what. But silence. As a parent 101, you know silence takes the cake. A lot of times silence is all you need. My dad didn't need to say anything to me for me to know never to say that to him again. It's just a look. Jesus had silence, and all of a sudden he had the control in the situation. Jesus took control of the Jewish leaders, and they were losing patience. They couldn't control themselves. I can imagine they were probably yelling over him, "Jesus, come on, make a decision, say something." And they were probably holding their stones while they were doing it, just ready to go. "Jesus, say something. Just say the word, Jesus. Just say the word." And then Jesus speaks. "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Now, Jesus is poking the bear here. He's poking the bear because if you continue to read the law in Deuteronomy 19:5, it says one witness is not enough to convict anyone accused of any crime or offense they may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses, and I can guess that these men probably were not the ones who actually caught her in the act. Deuteronomy 17:7, the hands of the witnesses must be the first in putting that person to death, and then the hands of all the people. You must purge the evil from among you. The law does not allow them to throw the first stone if they have not witnessed this act. And so the last rock drops to the ground, and Jesus focuses on the woman. She stands before him in her guilt and shame, and Jesus knew it all. Jesus sees her as his creation. He loves her anyway. He does not excuse the sin, so don't take that today. He's not excusing her sin. What he's doing is loving her where she is, not condemning her. He wants to set this woman free. John 8:11, "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Jesus sees a woman who needs to be free not only from her captors, but her sin. And I believe Jesus' point of view here is, I see you. I see all of you. And I still love you. Go. Choose freedom. Amen? Amen? Choose freedom. So what do we do now? What do we do with this story that feels really heavy? Because I think John meant it that way. I think he meant it to feel heavy. Because he wanted us to know what Jesus came to do, what he did. In John 3:17, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This story is that in a nutshell. This woman knew she had sinned. Her captors knew that she had sinned. But Jesus said, "I free you from that sin. I love you anyway. Go choose freedom." That is the point of view that I see Jesus in that moment. So where do you find yourself in this story? Are you the religious leaders who have lost sight of what God wants and is calling you to do? Because sometimes we have to walk in the hard stuff. Are you the woman who is standing ashamed in front of Jesus, broken, desiring relief from the sins that are holding on to you and you need freedom from? Or today, is your point of view like Jesus? Ready to love whoever is in front of you, wherever they are in their journey and whatever they have done? These are not easy questions, church. And as Christians, we can often find ourselves as the righteous character.
Amen. Preach it.
We find ourselves carrying stones, ready to throw the first one. Today you might have been sitting in the pew holding your stone going, "What are we going to do with this today?" And then I started reading the scripture and you thought, "Oh, I got a stone for somebody. I got a stone, Jesus. You just tell me where to throw it." But today I'm going to ask you to do something really hard. I'm going to ask you to walk up to the altar and place your stone on the altar and say, "Not today, Jesus. I'm done. I'm going to let go of the chains that are holding on to me, and I'm going to forgive the person I have the stone for." Because 2025, we have a lot going on, and we can't be holding these. We don't got time for these. We don't want to carry these. They're too heavy. They're huge. When I told Cindy, I was thinking little stones, and she brought these, and I thought, wow, those are really big. But I'm glad she did, because they are heavy. And I want you to feel, when you lay that stone on the altar today, "I'm done, Jesus. I'm ready to have your eyes, your ears, and a heart like yours to love like crazy, because I'm not doing this anymore. It's all you, Jesus. I'm keeping my eyes on you." Because Jesus didn't come to condemn. I'm not coming to condemn. I'm going to love that person right where they are in the journey they're at. Because we got a job to do. We got people to save next year. Amen. We don't have time for this. Amen. So I'm going to call the ladies up here, and they're going to sing a song that I finally remembered this morning. I was so happy that I did. As you drop or gently lay your stone at the altar, just say the prayer, God, give me eyes to see. Give me ears to hear. And give me a heart like yours. And then just lay it here. We're just going to sing this song as you come up to the altar. Let's start with the first. Yeah, Trish, yes. Let's start singing. We're going to sing this song as we all come to the altar. Lay your stones and just say that prayer. Please come. Do you feel lighter today? Oh, our church feels lighter. So we got a job to do. Matt, will you throw up that last slide for me real quick? I want you to take this with you. I want you to remember that every story has a point of view. But I want our point of view to be Jesus. Find Jesus in the point of view. Find Jesus in the story. That's what we're going to take with us in 2025. Got to be disciples. Ready to love Jesus, love others like Jesus like crazy. Are you ready? I am ready to do this with you. I am so excited to walk this journey for you. God, thank you so much for this beautiful word that you've given us today. I can feel it. We're ready. I feel like our church is so light. We're like flying because the Holy Spirit is here saying, you're ready to go. Let's go. Let's do the thing. Let's save all of our tuna because that's what we got to do. We got to bring our family. We got to bring our friends. We got to be Jesus past these walls. We got to be the church out there. So Jesus, we pray for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, go be Jesus. And go bring your friends and family here. Amen.